Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a herd of speeding turtles.
I like turtles. All right, you're great zombie.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball man. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, recovering from a long Cub convention. A lot of decimating of the information that was thrown our way from the time that Tom Ricketts came on with you guys last Thursday until yesterday, and Jason McLeod, the head of the minor leagues, talking about restoring and refurbishing and actually developing a starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, there was a lot that came out of that. There was a lot of fun stuff, and there were a couple of really interesting points, and I agree with what David said earlier, that Theo was absolutely he was just so truthful and honest, and you felt like he was kind of pointing the thumb, and you know, it was a very interesting idea coming from him.
And it almost seemed like, Bruce, this was by design. This is what the Cubs wanted, Theo's message to be the loudest one to come out of the convention.
Well, you know, it's one of honesty. It's not a revelation, though, that they have to supply the getting better part of it within what they have. That was the initial message we heard on the 71-minute speech that he gave on October the 3rd after they were eliminated from 2 days in a row of losing the division and then losing the wild card. And that has been, unfortunately, in some ways a constant because of the fact that they don't have any money to spend. And when we say they don't have money, they've already spent a lot of money. They're a high-revenue team that is going to have a payroll in the first three or four. But the reality is that they, and this is what I got most out of the weekend, the reality is that they cannot project long-term revenues right now. What does that mean? Well, the long-term revenue that they were counting on the most over the last 6 or 7 years is the money that they were going to get from their new Chicago Cub television network starting in February of 2020. So to be able to add a Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, long-term contracts within, you have to be able to project what those revenues are going to be coming in. Initially, they thought it was going to be $1 million of broadcast for all their broadcasts on their own network. Now, they're faced with the reality of the changing cable business. People buy their media elsewhere. Streaming is king. And they cannot project how many cable carriers are going to be able to take and supply Chicago Cub baseball in the Chicagoland area. And therefore, they cannot project those revenues for the baseball department.
Bruce, I guess I was struck more by what he said about Addison Russell's situation and the fact that Theo acknowledged the fact he talked to Addison's ex-wife, Melissa Reedy, and she gave him and the Cubs her approval to bring Russell back for a, quote, conditional second chance. And I thought that the way that he spoke about talking and consulting with domestic violence experts who talked about the, you know, not necessarily being on a zero tolerance policy and feeling that responsibility that he's spoken about before, because this is a guy they developed and this happened on the Cubs watch. And I felt like that was new ground that he covered that I hadn't heard before. Did that stand out to you as well?
It did. I mean, it gave more clarity, and I think gave more support for the Cubs to be able to continue to pursue the reestablishing of Addison Russell and allowing him to complete his rehabilitation without the public image being destroyed. I think that's, you know, that's so important to a public, you know, even though it's a privately owned business, you know, sports and baseball is a publicly driven business. And with that in mind, you know, you have to make your fans happy. You have to give them honest answers. You have to be clear with them. And it wasn't really clear until this weekend that indeed Russell had the support of everybody involved and that he should be able to continue to move on. You know, that disturbing story that came out about a month ago, which occurred actually 2 years ago, about how, you know, he was involved with Melissa and her being, you know, taken down by him. That kind of sent the story, you know, back into this is something we shouldn't do for the fan base, for people out there that certainly were worried about, you know, the social issue involved. But nonetheless, you know, I think that added some clarity there. And I think, David, you point out, you know, something that was really relevant here about this rehabilitation. Now, we don't even ever get around to the fact that Addison Russell had two really bad seasons in a row. A lot of people may allude to the fact that his off-the-field problems impacted that. A guy who was an all-star shortstop in 2016 and was one of the main contributors to the World Series championship. But that's another issue that has to be dealt with.
There's a report out there that the Cubs are looking to move Ben Zobrist, and that would be supposedly budget-related. The idea would be you clear $12.5 million, and maybe you go out and get a reliever with that money. You know how much they love Zobrist, and he certainly delivered on that contract. Is that a possibility? And
To me, it doesn't make sense, you know, honestly, because I know they want that $12 million back to add flexibility, but what you're taking away is a dynamic player who is penciled in at second base along with Descalso. Neither are going to play 150 games, okay? One is a really good utility guy that can play 110 games in Descalso. Zobrist had as good a year as he could possibly have last year. It was a great comeback year. He's a winner. He is the guy, when a hitting coach is not getting the message across, that a hitter on the Chicago Cubs can look at and say, wow, look at Ben Zobrist's plan. He has a plan when he goes up there for the first two pitches. He has a plan for the next two pitches. He has a plan of whether he's going to try to take a walk, lay down a bunt, hit the ball to the other side. He's a complete baseball player. He's not the best baseball player you've ever seen, but he gets the very most out of everything he has, and you would miss more with the intangibles of Ben Zobrist not being there than you would giving away just for money issues. That's just my call. I think he's an integral part of what winning's all about for the Chicago Cubs. I know it's a one-year commitment left, 38 years old, but that's the example. That's the type of player you want on your team if you want to win.
Bruce, I thought Chris Bryant was having fun with Ryan Dempster during that skit when he made the reference to St. Louis and called it a boring city. I don't think that was a wise thing for him to say. I don't think that you don't get anywhere by insulting your rival city.
It is boring, isn't it?
Well, no. I mean, I like St. Louis, but I was surprised he insulted St. Louis coming from Bryant. I was just as surprised maybe that Yadi Molina overreacted to that.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant's not an instigator, but at the same time, I see both sides. I just think it was probably a bad decision on both guys' parts. Where did this go from here? Does it just add to the rivalry?
Well, you know, it just shows you can't say anything, you know, even when you're having fun anymore, if you're a public figure, you just can't. But in reality is it going to add one more win for the Cardinals? Is it going to make them play any harder than professionally they already do? I don't know. I mean, it's similar to what occurred last year, you know, with the Hamels comment, how the Brewers and Cubs were not rivalry yet, and that kind of came back to haunt them at the end of the year. This comment, I mean, Chris is an honest guy. He likes to have fun. I just don't see it impacting the rivalry? Do you, after 135 years, do you think it's going to change the outcome of one ball game?
Well, I think that you could really expand that comment. I mean, name a city in the NFC Central that isn't boring.
Yeah, that's right.
Chicago. I mean,
well, we live in Chicago's the only one. Because,
comparatively, I mean, boring, the rest of them. No offense to anyone. I've been to Pittsburgh and had fun.
They are there.
Boring.
They're a combination.
Been to St. Louis,
small,
and had a good time. Fun.
They're small
cities. Cincinnati,
you know.
Been there and not had fun. Boring. Where else? What am I missing?
Milwaukee
is okay, but not Chicago. Let's be honest.
Hey, you go to Summerfest. Everybody does. You have to go. But in reality, I think, you know, the weekend for me, guys, was all about, what you brought up with Russell. The revenue streams, not being there for Theo to be able to project for the future. When he was on with on our station 2 weeks ago, he said that for the first 2 years, revenue from the TV network will more than likely not go to baseball operations. So that means that there's startup fees. That means there's the idea of developing, you know, your TV network into what you want it to be, and there's no way to project it. And I think that had more impact about being able to go after Bryce Harper or Manny Machado this year than anything else.
I still think they're lying in the weeds for Machado. All right, buddy.
Well, thanks,
just
Bruce.
We'll see. Take care, guys.
That is Bruce Levine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.